Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 224. Good golly, Josh is being a gorilla, so be careful. You might have to put him down.
Too soon, man.
Too soon. We can't have that. You got to start
That's
over.
No.
Holy cow.
No, we've already said that this is going to be a hate-filled episode.
Yes.
So
I thought we were fighting against negativity.
Like, that's a big problem now.
I thought we were pushing against negativity.
Yeah. We are pushing against negativity.
That was worse than Christopher Lee. Much worse.
Yeah.
You're never going to live this down.
Yeah,
why do you say things
annoying.
Like that? You have a problem or something.
That's Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining him tonight, Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Yeah, we had a theme for tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Stop. All of a sudden I start the podcast, Josh starts dumping his chest, you know, I was not
Sometimes,
expecting that. They try to throw me off at the beginning.
Yeah, we try to throw him off at the very beginning. That was my effort because we were recently talking about the whole gorilla incident.
And it went horribly wrong.
No, but it
no, actually went horribly right. That's exactly what he was trying to do.
My mission was accomplished.
Oh, you got it, yeah.
Yeah. At least I acknowledge that they do it on purpose, okay? So everybody heard that, right?
They don't care.
You're right. But this guy sucks. He can't even start a podcast. What's wrong with him?
They're having so much fun there. As soon as they start, they're already laughing and giggling. That sounds like a great place to go hang out.
So, one thing I wanted to talk about this week was negativity.
And he's positive about that.
What was the other thing I wanted to talk about? Shoot, there were two topics.
Current events.
Turtles.
No.
He likes turtles.
You got him.
Well, only because on Sunday somebody mentioned it at the house. Somebody said, I like turtles, and I lost it.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, it was very funny. And they're like, why are you laughing? I'm like, why am I laughing? You just said, I like turtles. And they're like, yeah. I'm like,
it's called the internet.
Wait,
so I had to pull it up.
They didn't say it ironically.
No.
No.
No, that's why.
They didn't have like a skull face.
No, they were not a zombie. No.
A zombie or whatever they were.
Nope. So,
wow, where's that kid now?
Darn it, what was he
in life?
Mental institution.
He was on Tosh.0
a few years
ago.
Yeah, the web redemption, yeah.
He's probably with the broom lightsaber kid.
Yeah.
Remember that kid? Oh, wow.
Kid, he was like 38.
Yeah, it was funny. James had sent me a question, and I basically responded. It was an entire like blog post responding to him. I think mostly it was just about the Captain America thing, but that's something I kind of wanted to get into.
You keep handling all these questions off the air.
Yeah.
It was a real basic one.
He
it was just, what do you think of this?
But
and
like,
I thought I forwarded that to all you guys.
You did. You forwarded it to me. You already addressed it.
Well, yeah, no.
You teased the audience with it at first, and then you're like, well, we talked about that.
Right. Yeah, so I said that to him directly. We're not going to talk about that now.
That's it?
Yeah, because the one from Zach that basically said that anyone that sends death threats to Nick Spencer and Tom Brevoort's a moron.
Yeah. I mean, and absolutely. And so that was, I was going to talk about stuff on my own last week, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah, you're supposed to do your own podcast.
Yeah,
gonna
was,
do a solo?
Yeah.
I was going to
go solo once. Well, Saturday it turned into a debacle.
Yeah.
Because I was all by myself on Saturday night, and I was like, oh, I'll do this stuff, and then I totally forgot.
And then unleashed the crack in it.
Pretty much. I didn't, but yeah. But yeah, there's just so much negativity just about everything right now. And I don't get it. The internet does suck right now.
You just blow that thing off. Boom.
See, that's negative.
Oh, yeah, it was the comment I made to you. I think it was online. It was on Twitter.
I was saying that it takes a special brand of scumbag to send death threats over a comic book storyline or a video game being delayed.
Yeah, and then I just responded. I said the anonymity of the internet makes is a wonderful shield.
Everybody's really badass.
Well, it's an easy shield. But, yeah, just seeing a ton of negativity. Now, to start with, the Captain America Steve Rogers #1. I actually finally just read it. I had flipped through it. I knew what was going on, but literally right before the podcast, I took the time to actually sit and read every page. You know, I wanted to read it, not just to, you know, because so many great people online like to talk about stuff that they haven't read and complain about it. So
that's
I wanted to at least have read it, besides just having a
it's
basic
crazy
idea.
Talk. What is this, 1993?
I know, it is. I'm sorry.
You and your antiquated beliefs.
You're right. Well, and I've seen a lot of the reviews and they're all like 5 out of 10, 2.5 out of 5. And I agree. It wasn't a very good issue. They might be going somewhere. The bigger problem they have is it's a number one right after a Captain America movie. And there's so much stuff that you need to know going into this that I think John Q. Public would be completely lost, where I think with something like Rebirth, it does a pretty good job of explaining itself the entire way along. But the other thing, lots of little things. Like, there's Sharon Carter's in this, and it shows him making out, and it's the same Sharon Carter that he made out with in the movie. But she looks like she's about 70 in this.
He is 70. So
right. Oh, absolutely. But there's no explanation made of why she doesn't look like the character in the movie. Yeah. And one of my big concerns with this is, and then a lot of people say, well, you know, there's a difference between the movie and the comics. I'm like, yes, except you know who he says Hail Hydra to at the end? Dr. Selvig from the Thor movies. So they're
never been part of the comics.
Right, yeah. And they're intentionally trying to bring them together. And I've seen people say, well, it could have been just a generic scientist, but instead they decided to make it one people would be familiar with. And I'm like, I get that, but you're intentionally muddying the waters between movie reality and comic reality. And while they say Hydra isn't necessarily, and this was Brevoort and Spencer were saying, Hydra isn't Nazi, there's a different branches and all this stuff. I'm like, however, in Captain America First Avenger, you have the Red Skull wearing the Hydra badge with the blood dripping down it. I remember that scene very specifically. But it's complete black leather, German.
Specifically talking
Hydra
about
is essentially the Diet Coke of Nazism. It's the same, but not quite.
Okay. The general impression is that. And then if you Google Time, Captain America, Hydra, or whatever, I found the article on there. And in the very first sentence, it says Hydra, a former Nazi organization. So it's like, okay, so that, and I'm sure they didn't get that from themselves. I'm sure that was part of Marvel's press release that they sent to him. And also, if Captain America in the main story sets him up as mom being invited to a Hydra rally in 1925, well, I'm going to say that was pre-Nazi. So if he was in it then, he was in it through the Nazi years, you know, and maybe, and then after. So.
Maybe it was just a tentacle party.
It could have been. That's a lot. That takes the real conversation in a whole different way.
Is
that because you read Tokyo Ghost?
Oh, that's right. That wasn't Tokyo Ghost.
So.
Way to tie it in.
Thank you. I didn't even read it, but Murphy posted that frame, and I'm like, that's interesting. So basically the problem I have is Marvel has forgotten that. Really, Marvel doesn't own Captain America anymore. Disney owns Captain America. And there's a different perception. Captain America is not just a comic book character. Yes, in a comic book, you can do whatever you want. I realize, every comic book reading person realizes, this is the first issue of a bigger story. There's more to come. There's more story to go. I'm not going to judge a movie by its first 10 minutes or judge a book by its first chapter. There's a lot more to go. But the problem is when Time has a headline saying Captain America is part of a former Nazi organization and always has been, which was their big selling point, that goes out to John Q. Public. That goes out to the mass market. It's not just talking to the comic book fans who could have their own little conniptions and yada yada.
Well, but 60,000, how many copies they sell of Captain America? Generally 60,000?
Yeah, that's safe.
How many people went to go see the movie?
And it's not like it's not, I mean, this book came out now because of the movie.
Right.
There's no other reason we got a new Captain America number one just to tie in at issue 3 in the Civil War. Either you launch it in the Civil War or not. You know, this came out to tie in with the hype of the movie. So I think they've created their own problem, and now to see them backpedaling, going, oh, well, we never said that. Well, yeah, but if Time says it, they didn't make that up on their own. I'm sure Time did not do a ton of research into the history of Hydra to do that fluff piece.
Although,
online.
Honestly, that's also part of the problem, too. That's not good journalism to not know what you're talking about.
Well, but they might. But they're going... I'm sure that was in the Marvel press release. And
maybe.
Maybe. Fair enough.
But I'm just saying...
But
know,
yeah, but I'm saying they probably got... Especially because it was also in the Washington Post. It was in Entertainment Weekly. So they intentionally reached out to all these news outlets.
Yes. Yeah, they
and
invited,
that's where I think
they invited
it is. They invited that in, and to have, you know, like I saw Nick saying, you know, with all these little, you know, girls saying, oh, you know, you've ruined Captain America for my four-year-old. She's upset now. And Nick made the comment saying, well, it's good to know these four-year-olds are reading comics. And I'm like, you're missing the point. Mm. This is bigger than the
He's
comics.
He's an icon.
Right.
This
is what they've worked for. This is what they've worked
this
for.
This is what they want. Yeah.
What
yeah.
they want.
Yeah.
And it just, in this case, it...
Right. I just think for... What
Superman's
was,
a communist. That doesn't really work.
Right.
Red Sun was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Red Sun was awesome,
yes.
but
it
was
but
it also Elseworld.
Continuity.
Yeah.
Right. And, but I also bet it didn't make major news media.
No.
But it was also probably not pushed
I agree
to
with
major news people.
A lot of what you're saying, I don't have a problem with wanting to tell some, you know, off the wall story. Do I think this particular story is a bit ill conceived? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to wrap up in some way that will, you know, write things. But I do feel it is gimmicky. When
yeah,
they say
that
like,
was what I was getting.
When
to
they say it's
yeah.
not gimmicky, they're
yeah.
full of crap
yeah.
there. But
I can't
fault them for telling whatever story they want.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But what hasn't been gimmicky with them in the last? 3 years.
No, they can tell any story they want, I think, but just yeah. to not expect some backlash after yeah. pushing this to the national news media and then going, people are upset? I'm shocked.
Their,
I don't understand
their response
why.
Should have been, yeah, we expect some backlash. Yeah, we know how much people love the character, but bear with us. We have a story. We think
right.
in the end
yeah.
people are going to love it.
But
you
it was more, yeah, any news is good news. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't think so. With the praise Rebirth is getting, and they're claiming they stole
yeah.
Rebirth's thunder. I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking at my sales numbers
for
today.
Bad too, because it's gotten so much press because of this. I think people will come in and be like, I want to get that issue
yeah.
just
but
because
that's
people
just
are talking about
that's
it.
That's fine for number one.
Yeah.
What about
where are
two,
we at, say, number
yeah,
three?
I can't see that.
Because number two might get some, but I don't see number
yeah.
two getting as many.
And it goes back to what you were saying about it becoming a tie-in by, what, 4 or 5? So
right.
that's going to lose people right there.
Yeah. yeah. Because
so be a lot of drama.
And I do completely understand the problems you know people have with this
yep.
with this
yep.
story and I fully support if you are against it or don't like it you know have your
yeah
don't have
it.
Your voice be heard by your wallet don't buy the book
right
you know post on Twitter but don't send freaking death threats
right
that's
but also and all the people you know all the comments on Twitter and everything
heard.
For the comic people again if you haven't read it don't have opinion I was Kyle had a post about Rebirth
yeah.
and talking about how much he liked it, and some guy chimed in who hadn't read it, slamming it, and mentioned he hadn't read it, and Kyle just ripped into him. He's like, I've had it with these people who don't read the books yet have time to criticize them
yeah.
based on what they read it might actually be about.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't take the time to read it, your opinion isn't doesn't well, really
they
matter.
Don't, they don't want to miss out on the bandwagon. They want to get the retweets,
yeah.
and they want to get the likes, and they want to get all the hype
when we were
of
yeah.
crapping
yeah.
on whatever the popular thing is to crap on.
I was telling him, like, it must be awful just to hate things all the time. Like, to go in just wanting to hate.
I don't think they actually hate. I just think they want to get the praise
they want
for...
But I don't know.
Yeah,
now, like that podcast you guys listened to, I think those guys wanted to hate. I don't think they were looking for anything other than...
I think, because that from what I gathered, the main guy is a big DC guy.
Right.
And it sounded like, without him there, they actively wanted to do the opposite of what he would have done. Because several times they referenced that if he were there, they wouldn't have been able to do it. So I don't think they really even wanted to hate.
They were
I think they just
off,
wanted
yeah.
to
but it was just
get
so
the attention
yeah.
for
yeah.
it.
But like I heard Ides, somebody was down at Ides and said they hated the book. They thought it was horrible. And I'm just like...
But you know what, though? That's okay.
But
it's
it is, but
you're
I'm sitting here
hate.
Going, if you're in a comic book store and your job is to sell this stuff, why are you saying that? Like Dennis Barger going online, just ripping, like Batman, the Batman Rebirth number one. It's half ads. It's 20 story pages and 20 ad pages.
It's like, also $2.99.
Right, and the Civil War was like, I forget what his page breakdown, but it certainly wasn't $3 worth of story more.
No.
So it's just people just like to complain and just I don't get all the negativity. Yes, I'm negative towards Marvel as a company And I may not like their books, but I rarely will just be ripping apart a book.
Yeah.
No. If you're gonna, you're generally fair even when you do.
If you're going to complain and rip something apart, have a cohesive argument.
Yeah.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't just do it for the sake of doing it. And that's what Colin, I won't mention the podcast name, but Colin sent us a link to an episode of a podcast.
It's somebody that I had started following on Twitter. I liked, you know, things he was talking. It was mostly around Batman Superman. And then started listening to the podcast. And some guy, you know, especially with Batman Superman, you can imagine how the guys who don't like DC hated it with a burning passion. But it's one I've kind of stuck listening to. And then I started listening to this one, and it was just, I passed it on to them because I couldn't even make it 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just the, it was hate,
I found myself
ridiculous
like,
hate.
Anger listening to it because I was getting so mad listening to this garbage critique of Rebirth from guys that had no idea what they were talking about.
Just because
and
it was a DC
book. That's
what
it was. It generally came across, to anyone
there's
that
no
has
reading
read the
comprehension
book,
at all with
that
these
they
guys.
Didn't, yeah, that they didn't understand. And you know, there are points that they missed, like they spent probably 3 minutes talking about the comedian button. And they missed that one panel. So they didn't know, you know, well, it would have rotted. And, you know, it's just plastic. Okay, look, I get you missed that. But that's just, you know, you read it once. 5 minutes later, you're talking about it. You're going to miss things. Don't.
And there was one guy there who was correcting them and defending things and pointing out their flaws. And they were just attacking this guy constantly for everything he said. Like, just very, you know, childish attacks. Not, you know, any weight to their arguments. Just it was a garbage podcast. It is the first and last episode of that podcast I'll listen to.
I did listen.
If ours ever gets that way, please send us an email and call us out on it because it was awful.
And the next episode was better with the other guy. Because
the main guy was back.
Yeah, because the main guy was back. And that's just it. I didn't care that they hated the book. That's okay. You're allowed to have your opinion.
Yeah.
But have a reason for it.
There was
and
not.
Some
there
of
was
what, well, no, but some of what they said later, story-wise, made sense.
There were a few, like, little things,
Linda is the love of your life. You went to her sixth or you know, whatever
third.
The number was. Yeah, whatever the number was. It's like, yeah, that's a valid point. That probably should have been the first person he went to.
But I
but
actually
that's
disagree.
Even a minor point.
I disagree with even that, though, because this Linda doesn't know who you are. And she's not a hero, so she doesn't necessarily have. She's not going to believe something as fantastical as that as easily as someone like Batman would, or this guy who's been trying to convince people of him being in the Justice Society for years.
Yeah,
or,
I get that. Yeah. I get
so
that.
So I could see him going to another hero that may be more easily convinced by, oh, okay, I can believe
Flash would have been.
Flash shouldn't have been last, I don't think.
No, Flash should have been first, and then, you know, but. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a valid point that, yeah, your order's kind of screwed up,
but then
on
harping,
the surface
they were harping on the whole thing about, like, Captain Boomerang and whatnot, and the one guy's like, no, he didn't actually, like, pop out of the Speed Force with them. It just, you know, it showed them.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't listen. They just kept harping and harping and harping because it's the cool thing to do. And the one guy is complaining about the origin recap of Wally West, but then he was asked, like, wait, this guy, who's this guy? He wasn't in the New 52 at all? Like, another guy was complaining about the whole Linda Parks thing. Then he's like, wait, is that an established character?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were married. So what are you talking about?
You just can't take someone seriously.
Or just roll with it. Just assume she is. You know, why did they have to prove everything to you in the pages of the book?
You have to be able to explain everything
especially
about the DC universe. Even though they've never read anything dealing with the DC universe, they can critique it. It's like reading it, looking at a book and being like, well, I'm not going to read that because...
Like at one point, they were complaining that it seemed like there was a lot of... In order, you know, dealing with the whole love aspect and relationships. And they're like, why did they cram all this stuff in one section? And the guy's like, well, it was in chapters, and that chapter's on love. And they're like, oh, you literally just read the chapter names.
Yeah.
That's
part of the book.
To show you why it was in that section.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you want to know the podcast, email me or whatever, but I don't want to publicly slam them. But
you don't want to fight with them.
No, I don't want to start a fight or anything. I just
don't want someone to accidentally go and listen to this.
Yeah.
You know, audio garbage.
Yeah.
But yeah, just this last past week has just been ridiculous with the negativity and we need to stop lighting up people.
Give someone a hug.
Read stuff that you like, don't read stuff you don't. But
Josh says he's a bear.
Don't read stuff you don't like just for the sake of
I just hate calling a little hug right now.
You know, put a little love in your heart.
I say turn that frown.
At last.
They're reading Coke bottles. Yes.
Read yours, Pat. You don't belong with me, Josh.
Oh.
But, yeah, shoot. I had two topics. I totally forget what the other one was. So, Pat.
Yeah.
You got any news?
There was. There was
delete a podcast.
Zip it. So the first thing is Dan Abnett signed an exclusive with DC.
Yeah, oh, really?
That's good because he's writing Titans and Aquaman.
Aquaman's been good.
So that's actually exciting.
Better than Colin Bunn.
No love for Colin
Bunn. Constipation was better than that run.
Wow.
Oh, that was mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no negativity, Josh.
I'm sorry.
He's okay, but in this case, he wasn't.
I was trying to be over the top there.
You've read better.
I liked where his run was starting, but then when it continued to just plod on and on and on, and that's when it kind of killed it for me.
It was like the Cougars in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Okay. FX has decided to pick up Legion. It's going to be an 8-episode first season.
The X-Men Legion.
Yes. Yeah. And they had the first picture of the character and kind of like, okay, whatever.
I read the first issue of that series, and it just, the X-Men Legacy series with him, and just didn't.
Yeah.
I was so confused. Because, granted, it's inside a crazy person's head, but it's one of those, like I said, well, I was talking about Arkham Asylum before, where it was just,
One of those they printed accidentally on the wrong paper or something.
Yeah.
It was a really thin interior paper.
Like, yeah.
Well, that sounds like...
And then they quickly backed off. Yeah. Well, no, it was funny. Then they quickly backed off.
Premium deluxe.
They quickly backed off saying, the printer used the wrong paper. It's like, no, you were testing that.
Yeah.
But it literally was tissue paper.
Did you test it out?
No.
Fox has decided to shift two movies, two of their Marvel movies, by a month. One is it was supposed to be in March of 2018. Now it's in February. And the other one was supposed to be in July. Now it's in June. But they haven't named any of these movies. So
I don't know how newsworthy that is.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the crazy thing. It's like, okay, you're shifting movies that you haven't even decided what they're going to be. You haven't announced what they're... Why would I care?
Yeah, why are they even reporting on that?
Yeah,
You reporting? You're part of the problem now.
Well, I'm just... Mine's more of a commentary, like, I don't get it.
Oh, I get that. I like that.
I don't get it.
Good commentary.
Thank you.
Pat of the People.
I try.
That's the segment name.
Pat of the People.
Oh,
you made me snort. Thanks.
Sony has, I guess, they're doing an animated Spider-Man movie in 2018, and it looks like it's going to be a Miles Morales-centered movie.
I love that 90s Spider-Man cartoon.
I do, too.
Supposedly, the guy who
but that wasn't
that,
Miles Morales.
I know.
I'm just saying, I like
the guy who's writing Cyborg is taking,
David F. Walker.
I guess Cyborg,
yeah.
John Semper,
oh, okay.
I believe it was his name. He did
your
that cartoon.
Facebook buddies, you should.
Yeah, I was talking to him about it actually, because he's. I guess the last episode they were chasing after MJ, and she was going in like a portal, and he was going after her, and that's where it ended. Supposedly, they did an auction at some sort of like fundraising type thing.
Well,
to recreate to finish like,
the last episode, he actually met Stan Lee. In the real world.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, and then Madam Web says you have somewhere to go, and then that was the end of it.
Yeah. But he has
it went very meta.
He has some sort of connection episode for that. He brought the original cast back and stuff.
Okay.
I thought it was just kind of a cool... But yeah, that Spider-Man cartoon was really good.
Yeah.
So that's cool that they're bringing a Miles Morales. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a way to do it. And
as long as it doesn't go their weird computer animated or anime like direction of movies, because those have been awful. Like they had a Punisher, Black Widow.
Yeah, Rise of the Technivore or something like that. I tried to watch that.
Yeah, that was really that was the Iron Man one.
Okay, that's right. Yeah,
it was okay. It dealt with somebody. You remember Matt Fraction's run? I think it was Matt Fraction's run when Iron Man had like a villain that was Stain's son, Ezekiel Stain.
Okay.
That was the antagonist in that movie. It was really weird how they did it. But Marvel is really bad lately at animation. Like, they just don't have it. Which is odd because of being partnered with Disney.
that they wouldn't, because besides Warner Brothers, Disney is the next best, you know, animator.
They have Pixar. There is.
Yeah.
But even there, I mean, that's... That would have been...
But even direct the video, like...
And if, in the early 2000s, they did several that were very good.
The Ultimates was good.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was really good.
The only one that was kind of off was Iron Man. And that was okay, but it really wasn't Iron Man.
Yeah, it was that Ultimate Iron Man kind of feel to it. And then they had that Avengers. It was kind of original. The Young Avengers.
Yeah, Next Avengers. Next Avengers. Yeah.
It was pretty good. So. We'll see.
And then the last thing I got was Disney is apparently very unhappy with Rogue One and is ordering reshoots.
Yeah, but I heard that. I saw that. Something about changing the tone and introducing a new key character.
Yeah. Well, and what I read yesterday, the rumor is essentially Rogue One ends 10 minutes before A New Hope begins. So the rumor was it's going to be Han Solo. Don't do that. Just don't do that.
I could see them... Well, yeah, that wouldn't work. I was going to say, I could see them introducing the kid that's playing in the Han Solo solo film.
That's what I thought.
If it ends 10 minutes before New Hope, that it wouldn't work out. That'd be...
Yeah, because this, you know...
He just finished up in his Kessel run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, it took him 12 parsecs.
10 minutes, not 12 parsecs, yeah.
But, yeah, this whole operation's going to take weeks, months, not years, so that really doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, when I saw the trailer, nothing in the trailer really stood out to me. Actually, it kind of did the opposite, because if you're setting this 10 minutes, essentially, before A New Hope, it should look like A New Hope. You shouldn't have all kinds of cool stormtroopers that didn't exist in the original trilogy. It should look
trilogy. They could be specialized.
But they really didn't have that in the original trilogy.
The original trilogy, we didn't see a whole lot. We saw on a ship and the...
On Tatooine. And they were regular stormtroopers.
They came down from the ship. I'm saying, like, if they're on a base, a special operations base, I could see them having some sort of...
Kind of, but not... I mean, look, I get it. Disney wants to sell toys. People want to buy toys. They want... I get all that.
Just fine. Close your eyes and enjoy.
Fine. No problem. But if you're saying, hey, this is in that timeline, it should look like it. Visually, I get it's not going to. The movies are made 40 years apart. It's just going to look
differently. See, if the movie comes out and... they're a certain type of stormtrooper, then I'm fine with that. If they say, this is a standard stormtrooper, and then it's like, well, they don't look anything like the other standard stormtroopers, and then there's a problem.
Yeah.
But if they say, like, these are telekinesis stormtrooper, I don't know.
But, you know, it would seem like, how come we haven't heard of these before?
Yeah.
Haven't seen...
dude that could stop a laser bolt midair... and was a complete badass for, you know, most of the movie. He got his butt kicked by a couple of novices.
Because he's emo?
Yeah, he's...
Sorry, I don't want to pick a fight with you, Dave.
You're supposed to be nice, Josh.
Actually, he was being nice, because I would have used foul language about him.
Wow.
He was much cooler before he took the mask off. Once the mask came off, I lost... It was like, nope, I have no respect for you. She just left it on. So, okay, that's all I got for news.
Okay. You can't think of any other comic news other than stuff like Marvel Now 2. They had something last week, and then today they released a thing where the Now was like all crinkled up. It was everything you thought you knew.
Because they've already trashed that idea. Yeah, so
let me see what the... Let me hang on. I'm sorry.
Marvel Now.
No, I want to get this right. I don't want to misquote.
They don't have the cracked one in here.
Marvel Now.
You
too,
thought you knew the whole story. So, Mike, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Other than I just hope they don't go into like more cosmic cube reality altering stuff. Or if they're going to start revisiting more stuff. Like, here was the real story of Original Sin. And here's, you know, it's...
But that's...
a little too repetitious, backwards thinking, I guess, kind of.
This is why I'm at the point where I'm reading, like, fringe Marvel stuff. It doesn't really tie into
right.
the main
well,
Marvel
yeah, I was talking to,
same here.
I was talking to Dan about that, Dan Degnan of Southside Comics, former helper who abandoned me.
Abandoned you? He sprouted his wings.
Yes. He did.
You kicked a little baby bird out of his nest.
I did. And Delian was here today, too. So I'm kicking all sorts of people out of their nest.
How's this short doing?
Good, he says. Yeah, you ran out of bags and boards. You needed some. Yeah. But Nathan said at the point he had outsold me on Civil War, so that could be me.
Yeah, but,
yeah he sold more on Civil War than I had at that point. One thing, the point I made to him was Marvel's now promoting something that's after Civil War, where if you look at DC, DC's promoting Rebirth. So what's more beneficial to me? I don't want you guys being customers, fans, excited about what's after Civil War. Number one came out today. How about we talk about what happened in number one? Or let's look forward to issue two. But not let's look forward to after it's all over. They just, it seems almost like a company, they get bored. They're done. You know, Civil War II is in the can. They're done with it. So the hype machine goes on to the next thing that they're actually excited about.
You know what, though? That would even be okay. Other than the fact that we're 6 months out from what that is. Okay, great. Marvel now. Yeah. 6 months from now, I'm not going to remember.
But not even just that. But now they're being coy. Oh, we don't want to tell you yet. We're going to get you excited, but we're not going to tell you. It's like, I'm bored with it. It's like, I feel bad, but this is how I feel about the Suicide Squad movie. It's not out yet? How long have we been hearing about this? I saw the trailer last July in San Diego.
Yeah.
Where is this movie? You know, so...
Yeah,
you know,
you
can get out too far and people get bored with it. Like, I could have sworn X-Men was out weeks ago because I've been hearing about that for so long.
Well, no, that's the problem when they're releasing American movies overseas 2 weeks before they release them here. Yeah.
But I've been hearing about it for so long, seeing those promo images. It's like too far out and, you know, it loses its impact.
Which I think
you have to keep releasing more. Like happened with Batman v Superman.
Well, the same thing happened with Apocalypse, where they gave the whole movie away. It's
They had to keep giving you more and more. So, I mean, Marvel did a good job not giving away. I honestly wish they'd kept Spider-Man under wraps and let that be a huge surprise in the movie. I think that would have been awesome. Yeah.
Giant Man was really...
They probably got a lot of people that went to the movie just to see Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe.
You think so?
Yeah,
it could be.
I think so.
Because I think it would have gotten that buzz right after.
People were so excited leading up to it. I think it built a lot of hype for
the
movie.
But I think that would have been a great surprise.
It would have been an unexpected surprise. You're absolutely right.
But it was like when they did Age of Ultron, we didn't see Vision until a month before the movie came out. But then after that first picture came out, it was a nonstop. You know, every other day you got a new trailer with all new footage. By the time I actually saw the movie in theater, we saw three quarters of it.
Yeah, and say they held up for a surprise, but people didn't like the movie as a whole. Then people are coming out saying, the movie was so Spider-Man's intro was cool, then you're not going to get people to rush
in. Gotcha. Okay. I hear you.
Thanks. I feel heard.
I
you heard?
I agree with what you're saying. I need to make better notes. I had more stuff to talk about.
You've had a lot on your plate.
It's been a busy week. Yeah, in like little things. I totally forgot. Saturday is Dark Horse Day. I totally forgot, so I got to start hyping that up. Dark Horse.
Not
horse.
Dark Horse Day. What the hell, Josh?
Man,
what kind of store do you think this is?
What is the best store?
Yeah. Have you been watching Game of Thrones?
I have. I just finished 5, and I just watched episode 1 of 6, so I don't know if that's the one you guys were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically an old lady. I was expecting something disgusting.
So you see Melisandre, she's
I get it. But I was thinking like a creature, like something.
I don't know. The way them things were sagging.
I get you, but I was expecting something.
Like
you said it was
implants.
Worse than when she gave birth to the shadow creature under the thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty creepy.
But she was still hot at that point.
Okay, whatever. I just expected something. So that's as far as I got last night.
Gollum with implants is not my deal, but if you like that...
No, I hear what you're saying, but I was expecting some hideous... Like, some creature. Not just an old woman. I was expecting...
Fair enough.
Something.
Wait till you get to the episode that came out on Sunday.
Okay, I'll get there. I'm trying. I'm going as fast as I can.
The end.
Oh. But, so.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get caught up. But I'm seeing some stuff that wasn't in the book, so I wonder if they're going to be in the books. But, like, the whole thing with Stannis' daughter, that was a surprise.
I did not read the books.
I've read the books and don't want to, spent a lot of time reading the books.
So
I don't want to spoil the books.
Once I began coming to this store, my reading of non-comic
related mine's
literature
pretty bad too.
Has,
I did that
drop drastically.
I did that over one summer. It's like sitting at the pool. I just constantly read. It's good. Especially when you got to the Red Wedding in the book, and you're wait, pack. Even worse, I was at a Cub Scout pack meeting and wanted to say, what the? But I couldn't.
Kid's got to learn that word somewhere.
Yeah, I would have been
the cool dad / inappropriate dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deck and his friends would be like, awesome. Yeah.
So that's all I got. Yeah, I do need to start making much better notes. I suck.
We all do.
I make notes.
Yeah, Pat does notes.
I do notes.
I wrote down the books I read, but that's about it.
I have to make notes on the books I read because I won't remember.
I've been totally distracted. I got to do the new TV show.
You just write down the titles, right?
No, I just make little notes on things. Because I'll read books on Thursday.
I should make notes in the books I read. I pull up the email that Comixology sends me and just look at the list so I can remember which books I read.
Yeah.
But I should make like bullets of things I want to mention because then when I'm talking about it,
I'm looking at my list going, what did we talk about last week? You know, which books did we talk about?
So. We talked about Rebirth and Justice League.
Okay. Well, that's Superman.
Rebirth.
Okay.
So,
time to get into the books.
Where'd Adam go?
Adam is sitting reading Captain America so that he can talk about it.
He buy that book?
But
he did not, but that's a damaged copy,
I'm
not worried about that. Not. Did you finish it?
No.
Oh, finish it. It was so good. Adam gets to start then.
What? You want me to talk about that one?
Sure.
I don't know. I'm probably not the best person to talk about.
We already talked about that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's going on right now.
No.
He's so disoriented.
No, I know.
After, like, with RT number 9.
Yes.
What?
So is that Velcro on your hat?
No, I think it's just a little square.
It's a little patch. Oh.
It's a soul patch on his hat.
You read that?
You put it in the wrong place.
Yes.
I liked it. It was good.
Sorry, what book?
After I Flushed Archie.
Okay. I did not.
I was disappointed.
You've been waiting this long.
I'm like 3 issues behind anyway, so I kind of gave
You've
up
had
on
a
it.
Year to get caught up.
I gave up on it.
Here's
I was enjoying it.
But. Here's the thing. It's not that it was a horrible issue, but having to wait a year for it is a disappointment. Like, it didn't meet my expectations.
I don't think it was any different than
I actually liked
was.
It quite a bit.
Yeah. I don't think I was so...
I just didn't.
It didn't progress the main
that's what
story
I, yeah,
at all.
That's what bothered me.
But
it was character development for Reggie, which was fine.
It was character development. It was creepy. Like, I liked the whole... Where he's telling the story about how he found the horses. Then he's like, but that wasn't my story. And it was and the whole time, like, oh, Reggie's going to do something really messed up. And then you find out Reggie did something really messed up. And it adds a whole other element or layer to what's been going on.
I felt like it
didn't expand the story, but it fleshed out the story so far.
And I get that. The other problem I had though was I read that because it was the preview of Sabrina, so I kind of spoiled it for myself, not realizing that that's what it was. So I'd already essentially read a quarter of the book before, and I was like, whatever.
I will say this:
the end was pretty cool, though.
The end was cool.
Yeah, the end was cool. To me, it was like. Damn, you guys had a whole year.
It's still a D move to.
I don't think it was being crafted for a year, though.
No,
you know.
I agree. I don't think that they said let's
the book
hold it
itself
for a year.
That we're coming back to. But it was a good issue. I liked the creepiness feel of it.
I wasn't disappointed too much. I don't know what I was expecting, but I love the stuff they did with Reggie.
And
they
haven't done much with
Reggie at all. That stuff with him taking the quiz and he might be a sociopath and questioning himself.
Yeah.
What was up with the Reggie jacking it?
Yeah. Man.
That was...
I had to do a double thing. I'm like, is he beating off right now?
Yeah.
What?
After Life with Archie.
This is an Archie book. And
I didn't say anything explicit.
Yeah.
I just... You gave me a look. I
suddenly wasn't sure what book you were talking about.
Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, that's
even scarier, right?
Yeah, Reggie had a masturbation scene.
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah. It was really just...
He was thinking about
Archie
Midge.
Was doing... Okay, never mind.
It wasn't a double Dutch rudder.
You wanted inappropriate, you got inappropriate.
Look at that. That's from Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah.
I'm like, I know that. Why the hell do I know that? Okay.
See, you opened the door for all
I
these
did,
inappropriate.
You're right.
It's my fault.
You looking, need to just back we're just away, looking for an ace.
You should know by now. We will jump. Oh, you never said the podcast episode number.
Didn't I?
Thought no, I because I beat my chest and we all sidetracked.
It's 224.
Okay. A little late now, but yeah. Okay. In case you're keeping track at home.
Just remember.
How many of you have listened to all of them?
Excited to do the intro since
sadly,
you were out of it.
Probably me, because I've been here.
Loser, get a life.
Yeah.
Jeez. Jeez. You've listened to all. You've been here, too.
He's the owner.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's required.
So. It's not required at all for you. Daredevil 7.
Yeah, I read that.
I've liked this story. I guess it was only a two-issue arc. It ends with a question mark.
It'll be a full trade, though, when it comes out.
$24.99.
That's right.
But it was good.
I know.
It goes into the issue before that dealt with the, like, Elektra and then asking about, you know, where her daughter is.
Yeah, she thinks Matt is Daredevil. She doesn't know that. I don't think she knows that. Matt is Daredevil.
No, because everybody besides...
No,
yeah.
Nobody knows.
And it keeps playing up that, well, she didn't know you were blind even, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, you what? That thing you did to make everybody forget that we're not going to tell you about, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to... And we're going to hit Marvel now and never have to explain it because something else is going to happen.
That's where it would be awful. Like, I'll live with it for now in case they are developing a story with it like we're saying with Captain America.
Yeah.
But if it gets to Marvel now, this new Marvel now
be,
or whatever...
It's just going
to
be lost.
Marvel Now
it just gets
now,
lost forever, I'm going to be irritated.
It's never going to be explained.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he goes in and they're still fighting... When this issue starts up,
she thinks Daredevil had something to do with the disappearance of her daughter.
Because of what that guy said to her under mind control or something.
And it, she gives him the phone, can't see anything on the phone because she doesn't know. But he takes it to the Foggy, and Foggy's like, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he smashes it against the wall. That I didn't get. Right. And then has to go to her and say, oh, all the evidence has been destroyed, and that causes her to increase her distrust of him. It just, it was such a weird, why would he smash it against the wall?
Yeah.
But they kind of make up anyways, because she's just like, I wouldn't come here if I was. Yeah, I didn't get why he smashed it either.
Yeah, that didn't
Could have just took
me.
It back. But, but it turns out something's going on with her that she's been, like, under some sort of control. How did she fight it, though? Oh, there was a guy she met up with, and I didn't understand that either. Like, he says, like, a key phrase or something like that, and it makes her remember again,
remember
and then he runs
how she
off.
Got out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
But then, they're fighting, all of a sudden, it's Matt's thoughts, and and it's like, I know who did this to her. It's all my fault. The end.
Yeah.
And it was very weird.
Ended. It seemed to wrap up. It could have been.
It seems interesting, but
it
was very
interesting
quick.
When they had that background when her name's Iona and how she trained. Elektra was pregnant when she was training with Stick. And,
right after she left college, so implying it may be his. And but then in the end, she wasn't pregnant.
Up.
Yeah, it was just.
Seems like it could have been
it was
an interesting storyline for maybe more issues.
It seems like they could have done a lot with that story. Cause
but then it makes it feel like it was, Elektra's on Daredevil, we need you to come up with a Daredevil story real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it wasn't a bad idea that there was something that she was being all hypnotized or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's something against Daredevil, and whoever's wanting to fight with him is using people he knows. Okay,
yes,
that could be interesting, but it was just very abrupt.
Yes.
Very abrupt ending. And then we're going to have to wait. It's just like,
at least for that,
you know. It was okay. It's not bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
It's got its issues.
Grayson 20.
Hmm.
This was the...
That was a great issue.
The last issue of Grayson.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because this was a really good book.
Some of these finale issues have really embraced the concept of being a finale.
Yeah.
And done well. Some kind of missed the mark. Like, I thought Flash missed the mark a bit with being the last issue.
You heard somebody else saying that.
It just, it felt like the end issue of an arc, not this whole 52 issue, you know, storyline or series. But yeah, Grayson really, it wrapped up the story, touched a lot on the legacy of the character, got you excited for where the book's going, set things up for rebirth. It was just, I thought it was a perfect, you know, finale for that run. And it surprised me because it had those writers that were only in there for two issues.
Yeah.
It just, it was really enjoyable.
And any problems that I had with this, which are minimal, were just tiny things. Like, this issue was just, it was a really good finale issue. It was his final battle with Otto Nett, who has taken over Bertinelli.
Yeah.
And in this book, it's kind of cool. He decides to sacrifice himself and give up himself so Otto can take over his body.
But then shows how capable the character is in his own right.
To fight
back
any type of like mind control and stuff like that. And that's what he does. The small thing, and it's not necessarily a problem. I might have not said that right. But when he does and he's fighting these different versions of Dick Grayson in his mind, some of them were a little odd to me because they never existed. Like, one in particular was the Court of Owls one. So I was just like, well, they never actually had a Court of Owls one, so why would he have a memory of that?
It's not that he didn't exist.
It was cool, though. I still liked it.
But don't forget, he agreed to join them.
Yeah.
So we don't know what could have happened at some point.
That's a good point. Yeah. I forgot about that.
At the end of We Are Robin.
Yeah.
Or Robin.
Robin
and there's also history there. That's with him point. Supposedly he was supposed to be. So I buy that there'd be some sort of, you know, thought process there.
A little problem I had with one of those characters was the one that was all in yellow, the youngest version when he was an acrobat. Because I was expecting him to be wearing the blue. Because he was wearing the blue in
I'm sure he didn't wear the same outfit
Zero
the time, though.
That's true, too. So, and I think it stood out more on the background that they were drawing it on. So that's why I said it was just a little problem.
Probably want to tie into Robin colors a little bit.
Yeah.
But when he opened his shirt up, he was wearing the blue logo.
Yeah.
For that Nightwing.
Was really cool. Yeah. It was just, it was a, and I remember they did kind of a little bit of that with, the endings with when Grayson ended and stuff. Mm. When Grayson ended, like, I was very disappointed because I really, or not Grayson, when Nightwing ended, I was really disappointed.
So was I.
And then when they were just like, he's going to be a spy and this, I was just like, oh, I don't know. You know?
It worked.
But I read it and I was just like, I'm going to continue. So I did. I continued this fully through all the way and it was just.
What made me nervous was that final issue of Nightwing that was written by King and Seeley.
Yeah.
Was bad, I thought. And it really kind of made me angry that they had them write the final issue of that series instead of letting Kyle Higgins write it, because the penultimate issue, his last issue, was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. It was a perfect end of the book. So when I read that, I was like, oh, I'm not confident in this Grayson book at all, but I'll check it out. And I really liked it. They really knocked it out of the park, and it just shows how versatile of a character Dick Grayson is and how great of a character he is. He fits in so many different roles.
Who's writing Nightwing? This next?
Tim Seeley is writing it
by
himself with...
I get a little bit of that.
Who's on art? Oh, Yannick Paquette is on art, I think, right?
It's got an awesome-looking cover.
I think Yannick Paquette is on art.
But yeah, it's just been a really good series. I really recommend picking up the trades for Grayson because it's just fun. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did jump off of it because they were such Nightwing fans, but you really shouldn't have because it was just fun in its own way, you know. But yeah, Obi-Wan and Anakin number 5. Did you read that, Dave?
I read that, yeah.
This was the last issue of this arc. I really like this book.
It was very good, yes.
Yeah, this one finishes up the open and the closed. are finally meet up, and they meet up at the area to they're meeting up to fight, finish their war basically. But they meet up where the scavenger is, and this is a woman who is wanting to bring things back to the old way, but she's wanting to bring things back the planet back to how it used to be, but through the children. She, according to her, the adults are already lost, like they're done. But she can save the children, and she's been trying to save these children by sending them up what they've been calling sky gifts, which are little kites she sends up, and they collect, and it's pieces of art from their culture or stuff like that. These kids collect it, and it brings them closer to her, and they finally go and look for her. And
she's the one who sent out the distress signal.
Yeah, she's the one who sent out one. But it's interesting in this issue because she sends it out knowing of Jedis. But when she shows how she knows of Jedis, all she has is this picture. And it used to move, she said, and it had cover to it.
Yeah.
And she, he looks at it. He's just like, before this, you know, lost its color, what was the lightsaber? And she was just like, it was red.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was just like, oh, that's interesting. Cool. So she assumed he was going to kill them, and she was getting Jedis confused with Sith and everything, and she was hoping that they would come and just kill the adults, and that way she could take the kids in and recreate the world. And it just didn't quite work out the way she was wanting. Mm-hmm. But Obi-Wan was able to fix it and make it better. Sending out a distress call again, and then the rest of the Jedis were able to come and stop this war that they've been doing and try to fix this planet, which is very odd for the Jedis, but they explained, you know, they kind of work through little loopholes every once in a while how they can get past the, you know, their main directive of what they're supposed to do and all their rules. And this whole mission is why, in the end, why Anakin didn't leave the Jedi Order, which he was going to leave.
Been threatening to leave.
Yeah, because he was wanting to do other things. He was wanting to come back. But it was interesting, I guess, if he leaves the Jedi Order, Obi-Wan has to leave as well, is what they were saying. Because him and Yoda were talking in the issue, and he says, he's just like, you know what this means, and Yoda speak, you know. And he says,
"No, what this means, do you?"
That's what he basically. Yeah, he was. And I'm going to go check the issue just to see if you got it like completely right afterwards. He says that means I have to leave the Jedi Order as well. I didn't understand that. I don't understand why. That's pretty well. Yeah. That's pretty good, actually.
Mine.
Can you do any other Frank Oz characters?
No.
No Grover.
No.
Fozzie Bear?
No.
Miss Piggy?
Definitely can't do Miss Piggy. No, I can't stand Miss Piggy. Never could.
She's awful. It's horrible. Kermit can do better.
Yay! And that only works when you're throwing your arms up, too.
Yeah, well, that's how you get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's why the Muppet does it, because, like, Jim Henson had to do that exactly just so it wouldn't make the noise. But I really liked Obi-Wan and Anakin. I thought it was a decent book. And it was surprising, actually, because I thought they were just coming out with a book for absolutely no reason. Because it seemed kind of odd out of all the books they were going to do a prequel book. And it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Really good. There was some interesting stuff in it, for sure.
Yeah. And just to stay on Star Wars number 19. It was the conclusion of... I don't know what the arc was called exactly, but
Rebel,
it dealt with this
Rebel
prison.
Jail.
Is that what it was called?
It was called Rebel Jail, I think, yeah.
I really like this issue. I like the conclusion of this arc. Finally, you get to see who the guy who's taken over the prison is.
Yes.
And it's the guy from the annual.
His name's Eneb Ray.
Who was like
he's a rebel
a senator,
spy.
But he was a rebel spy. Was he a senator in the annual?
I'd have to go back and read.
That was my biggest problem with it, though. It was cool that they went back a little bit, but you forgot what happened in that issue.
Yeah,
it wasn't really
he
that
was
good
going
of an
undercover
issue.
On Coruscant in that.
Yeah.
In that, but
he
I
was,
can't remember if he was.
I think his plan was like to assassinate the Emperor or something like that.
Yeah.
But supposedly, you know, whatever happened to him, he comes back and he's kind of lost it from what the, you know. I guess the Emperor. You know, punish him with lightning Force of Lightning, and he's has scars on his face and everything like that. But you can tell it's who he is. He didn't look like the Emperor does when it back, you know, fired on him.
Right.
But yeah, they're able to you know, take him down still. Even though he used, like, I thought it was really dumb, though, in the last issue. The whole Han Solo and Luke thing was stupid.
Oh.
But the fact that when they come back and they're easily captured.
Every other word was nerf.
Yeah.
Or hurt.
And they even brought it up in this one. So that's my biggest problem with the Star Wars book. Yeah. It's very fan fiction-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they need to tone that down a little bit. Nobody cares about nerf herders, you know? Yeah.
I got to drive the
nerf herders.
I got
care
the fly
about
well, yeah. Falcon. Well, they care about
the nerfs.
Yeah. It's nerf for nothing. but it was a good arc. A very Leia, you know.
The best thing was that. One of the best things was Dr. Aphra gets away so she could finally go back to the Darth Vader book, hopefully. Yeah.
But they kind of purposely, like,
kick her into that escape pod.
Ejected it, yeah, so.
Asana did. See,
you know what
Asana.
I hope instead, and I like her in a Darth Vader book. I want them to continue to do the BT and Triple Zero backup stories.
That was really great. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, they need to. Hearing about the whole Star Wars thing is really bothering me though, because like I like the Darth Vader book, I really do, and I know it's ending and whatever, but it's just like. You announced it as an ongoing, like, you're supposed to keep it ongoing. Like, bring somebody on to write something.
The problem is, Vader down kind of killed
him. Oh, yeah, it did. But it's still a better book than the Star Wars book.
Number one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Also, with whatever's going to replace
Vader
it.
Gwen.
Vader Gwen.
You joke, but...
I would put nothing past
it. But the whole thing is, it's just... I don't know. It's disappointing because, like, right now there's no Star Wars book that I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting to see what replaces that.
And I'm not even sure, really, if I want the Han Solo book. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not that interested. What else are they going to tell about Han Solo? Like, he was smuggling again
I know. I don't know what they... Well,
we need to know how he made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parts.
I'm sure they'll never mention that, though.
Nope.
I don't know what they can do if they're going to... When they do the Han Solo movie, you know, they don't want to step on any of those toes.
Well, that's just it. I think that's going to be the whole Han Solo movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Making the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see that movie, really. I'm not interested in the Han Solo movie, but...
Negativity.
No, I'm actually not interested in it. But anyways...
sitting there not shooting Greedo.
Two more.
Cool,
yeah, mm-hmm. I was looking at that. We Are Robins, number 12.
Yeah, I read that.
This was one of those books I like a lot, actually. Yeah, this was one of those books that I think they ended it with a good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
like a one-shot kind of story.
Yeah.
That just set up the tone for these characters and... kind of put a nice cap on what they've done for this little run. And
confirm what we knew from issue one.
Yeah.
About
Big Al being Nest.
The stuff with Duke and Leslie Tompkins how he's mature.
That's what I call him.
It's
kind of cool.
This last issue dealt with a Robin... who we never... I don't think we've ever seen.
I think
and
he
they,
was, like, a background Robin.
They
yeah.
even,
he was
like,
before Duke.
Establish him as being... like whenever they find out who he is, they're like, oh, I kind of remember that guy. Like, he was one of the masses of the Robins. But his dad is a, like, contractor or a construction foreman or owns a company. And he keeps getting, you know...
Underbid
by Wayne Enterprises Construction. Uh-huh. Which does seem kind of funny to me that they'd be setting up that Wayne would be, like, bidding out all these smaller companies.
Yeah, but again, I think that's a matter of perspective, too. You know, if he probably can do it cheaper than
other
he
can, but I would think that Bruce Wayne wouldn't want to take away business from the smaller guy.
Because they even bring that in the book. Like, he's like, he has enough already. Yeah. What else does he want, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So his dad is saying that, you know, they're going to be in real trouble if he, like, loses another bid. And this kid gets the opportunity to kind of stick it to Bruce Wayne by getting involved with these crooks who want to steal something from Wayne's penthouse.
And it wasn't his main intention to do that? Yeah, he thought he was getting a job?
Yeah, easy money. Oh, you mean it's illegal?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Easy money is never illegal.
Usually jobs you meet up in a crummy little bar and, you know, discuss it with a bunch of guys that don't look professional at all.
I talked to Johnny Mobster. He said you guys were
That's right. That's basically what he said. Yeah. But their big heist is that they're going to rob, Bruce Wayne. So one of the guys is the doorman at one of his penthouses.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know how many penthouses you need in Gotham, but whatever. But...
A lot.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So, before he goes into this, while he's in, like, the air conditioning ducts, he messages the, what's her name? Shug.
Shug, yeah.
Shug. And...
Who's been kind of like their oracle.
Their oracle, yeah. And, tells him, you know, this is what's going on, you know, I could be into trouble, but I gotta do what I have to do, and stuff like that. So they decide she decides, really, that they need to help him. And, she knows exactly where he is from where his phone is.
Yeah, she pinged
his phone. Exactly where he is. Like, he's in the air conditioning duct of the, you know, not just the
He's over 4B.
Yeah. It's just, wow. But they go in to stop this whole thing, and, you know, in the end, you know, they do okay. Yeah, a bunch of stuff happens, but they're able to stop it enough that, you know, two guys get away. Alfred comes up through the elevator, and they take him as a hostage, but, you know, they somehow are able to figure it out that they're able to get away or something, and they take the other ones. But Alfred,
well, they say, like, let go of him, just, you know,
yeah,
you can leave.
And you can just leave, and that's what they do. And to get the other two, they're just like, we can't let them get away. They use parachutes and
base
jumps. Alfred encourages him. He's like, well, Master Wayne is a bit of a, you know, extreme sportist, so he has these, you know.
My biggest problem with not this book, but this series itself, is that Alfred just seems so out of character. That in one book he's just like, I gotta save Bruce because he can't, you know, stay as Batman. He's gonna die because of this. But then he's just like, here, children, have a superhero.
I know none of you have ever base jumped before, but give it a shot.
Here, try it out. Okay. You know, it's just like, wow, you're off. No wonder he became Batman.
You're a horrible
This is your
parent.
Fault. You're an awful guardian. He's just like, I thought this was how it worked.
Well, you know, Julia is a secret agent, too. So, in Alfred's defense, I mean...
Yeah. And then going back to what I talked about, issue 6, I really do wish this book becomes something like... They don't stay as Robin so much as become their own kind of characters and maybe make this an outsider book. Because I just don't see a point. If you're not going to have a Robin... And they might later on down the road. They might make a new We Are Robins book or something like that. But... You know, it would be nicer if they weren't Robins, I think. I don't think you necessarily
that
need
part didn't bother me so much because it's a legacy thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like there's only ever been one Robin. I mean, there's been...
I just think the idea of We Are Robins has potential, but not so much as Robins. And I think when you have something like The Outsiders, and all these kids are outsiders...
Yeah, I get that, but...
I think it could work.
But... If you remember when it first started off the back of Endgame, where the people of Gotham stood up for themselves,
yeah,
that's why I think it worked better as We Are Robin.
That's true, but it worked better, I think, in that time more at that point.
Yeah, but they're not going to change the title, you know, months. The only thing I can see is the end of Robin War, when that took place, and you know, the Robins were being blamed for the crime, that would have been the time to change the tone of the book if you were going to do it.
Yeah.
But since it was time...
I thought, actually, in the last issue, when they were just, like, when they weren't really fighting as Robins, they were fighting as just citizens of Gotham, I thought that would be a good time. But then they dressed up as Robins in this last issue.
Right, but they were fighting the Jokers.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, that's the other problem. They weren't just fighting against crime. they were fighting the Joker. So they were still staying within the Batman legacy.
Yeah. I don't know how what they're going to do with Duke. I know, I know what they're going to do with Duke. We can read about it today. But,
cheater.
They
had a bunch of spoilers on Bleeding Cool, but I didn't yeah. click. I resisted.
I'm not ready. We kind of knew from the last Batman issue it was heading into what you know he talked about with Duke at the end of that. But I just don't see him being anything else besides that now. So, but yeah, it was a really good end issue. And then the last one I'm going to talk about is Scooby-Doo Apocalypse or Scooby Apocalypse. It was good. It was a good book. I thought it was a little too wordy. A little
not
too
enough
much.
Rut-row.
Just, yeah, not enough. Just not enough.
No, no party. What?
Party. But it just kept, like, there was a lot of talking. Like, yeah, a lot from Velma.
Would you read it again for a Scooby snack?
I read it twice, and no
Scooby snack. There's not much he wouldn't do with
it's key, it's
for
the same.
Scooby snack.
It's
maybe the same. Three Scooby snacks.
It's Keith Giffen and the same guys you do just
which, those guys are wordy all the time in their books. But.
Yeah. But the idea of the story is kind of cool. Though. It's basically Velma's assigned. They all meet up in this book, so this is the first time they've met.
Yeah.
And Fred and Daphne are like, and they're this a lot. They do a TV show. Like, she's the host, he's the cameraman. Yeah, and they did that in the newer cartoon, that What's New Scooby-Doo. And then Velma is a scientist for the government, I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe? A government organization
of
something?
It's like this.
They're making, like, weird science projects for the government.
But it's kind of like a distraction from what they're really
doing. Yeah, from what they're really doing. Because and then you have Shaggy and Scooby, who Shaggy works as an animal trainer for the same government organization that Velma works for. And Scooby's an experiment, actually.
Yeah.
So they put this helmet on him, teaching him how to talk and stuff. And supposedly he's just a failure, though. It's an experiment to Velma. He's nice and everything, she says. But
he's a talking dog. How much of a failure could he be?
He's supposed to be for the project. The project was important. He was supposed to be a weapon. And it didn't work.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
People have been using dogs as weapons for centuries.
He failed, though. He's afraid of everything. Actually, they didn't show too much of that, like him being afraid of anything.
They showed him kind of intimidating when he's on top of that.
Yeah,
little,
off of that thing. And then she was just like down, heel, and he was just like, okay.
They think he's a werewolf or just a wolf or something.
Yeah. But Velma really brings them all together, except for Scooby and Shaggy. They just end up there somehow.
Yeah.
She's wanting to tell the TV show that Daphne does that what's going on, and the thing about it is this government project that they've been working on, that they created these nanites to change people's moods, to get rid of, like,
it's kind
of
the like nanites.
To get rid of negativity, since that's the theme of the episode.
Like, we need some of those.
Yeah. It's supposed to make them calmer, more peaceful, and stuff like that. It turns out that they do worse than that. And that they've been unleashed onto the world already. And when entering, like, a certain password from four scientists. But we kind of tell by the thing that there's five scientists. She just never really mentions it.
Mm-hmm.
When that code is entered, she starts to say five, and then she says four.
Yeah.
But when they, let me think. When they mention, she says when all of the scientists enter the password, it activates them.
Yeah.
And somehow, in between that, somebody does.
They're down in the bunker.
Yeah.
It's called Project Elysium.
Yes.
And that's when the virus is activated and the horns go off.
Yeah. And she's just like, Velma says, you know, how's this happening? It shouldn't happen like this. But I'm thinking Velma's probably the other scientist that was supposed to enter it.
Yeah.
But, being that she knew so much
about
it.
Whoever they met at the first.
Yeah. Which was Velma.
Yeah.
Velma was the only person.
Old man Smithers. What?
We're like, he wasn't even in the book, but whatever.
She would have gotten away.
Old man
with
Smithers
it too.
is the scientist who enters the code. You know, she's like,
she would have gotten away with it too. It wasn't for those crazy kids in that dog.
The dog.
How many failing amusement parks can there possibly be in Coolsville?
What's weird, it's at like a Burning Man.
Oh, but it could also be the old ghost, the old mill, or not mill, the old ski mine. Lodge. Yeah, the ski lodge, the mine.
But they entered the thing and everybody turns into monsters.
Yeah, so
and they're weird because they're all like Scooby-Doo monsters.
Yeah, they're real monsters.
They have like a mummy and it's just like, how did they turn into a mummy?
Coin.
But it's
did Shaggy say zoinks?
I don't think he did. Okay.
Did she say did,
the little emoticons
jackies?
That
did Velma lose her glasses at any?
The little emoticons that Scooby releases. Scooby has a helmet that releases emoticons, and they're like little bubbles that float out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say things in them. One of them was zoinks.
Okay.
But yeah, it was okay.
I really liked it.
It was still a fun read. It was just very wordy. So we'll see what the second issue has. Now that they've set it up, let's see what happens.
Interested to see where it goes. I thought it was pretty good.
Yes. But that's it for me. Scooby-Doo.
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 I guess I'll go next.
Go ahead.
No Scrappy either in it.
Oh, well, that's okay. Flash.
That sounded more editorial type driven than story.
Yeah. Josh, did you read last issue of The Flash?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, follow up with the Riddler, and
it was kind of lame.
I was disappointed.
If you're going to use the Riddler, it better be a very clever plot or very clever plan.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And it just felt like the end of an arc, not the end of this, you know, 52-issue run of Flash. Mm-hmm. It was a bit disappointing.
And then, you know, Flash, essentially, he gives himself up, shows he's Barry Allen, but Wally triggers...
Yeah, uses his powers, because he recently got his powers, and at that point, the drones sense a speed anomaly, so then Riddler's like, oh, you're not really the Flash? Flash is, like... Really? You're just going to immediately be like, oh, well, this must be just some normal person, and let him go.
Yeah, that...
And then the Flash kind of teams up with the Rogues, and the Rogues say that the Riddler and Trickster have violated their code of, you know, not killing anyone, even though they set off a bomb in a school.
Well, technically they didn't kill anybody in the
school.
No,
but they could have easily.
Yeah, yeah. Heatwave is clearly pissed, and he should be. You know, he's being kept in that little dome thing. I was disappointed in this. But I've been disappointed in Flash for probably the last two arcs. So I'm kind of glad this is ending.
The arc before this one, I didn't mind. This arc, I haven't liked.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad this is ending and you know, see what happens next. I'm excited to get the other Wally West in there and see if maybe that breathes some new life. Because I'm not a fan of this Wally West. I haven't been. It reminds me a lot of the Wally West in the TV show where he's just very needy, very whiny. And I would have liked to have seen some of that interaction, you know, inject some new life into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping they do that because since they're bringing in the old Wally West, who clearly already been a hero, has his powers, knows how to use his powers, I think that could be a little more fun. So.
Agreed.
Suiciders.
This was a good issue, Suiciders.
Yes, it was. So, the sports writer, apparently...
It's a cannibal.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, going back before that, the guy that we met in the first issue that was one of the original Suiciders, apparently he stopped being a Suicider because this writer said he was cheating the whole time. Which, I don't get how you cheat in a game that's to the death, but whatever. So,
well, the arena... is a part of the threat in the fight, so whoever's controlling the arena could have been slanting things in his way.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. But, so...
Roids.
Yeah. Again, to the death, I think, you know, it. That's an okay advantage. You know, this isn't baseball. So, He pulls the guy out of a restaurant and was going to beat him and, mm-hmm. and then doesn't. And then years later, you know, we jump back to the quote unquote present of the book, and we see that the sports writer is no longer fat. He's in fact very emaciated looking and having problems writing and all this, and we find out why. It's because he's eating people. He's on the Soylent Green diet, which is pretty cool. And his editor goes, I guess, to check on him and, you know, hey, you need
to leave. Oh, you look great.
You need to leave. You need to leave. And he doesn't leave, so he becomes dinner. So that's going on. And then you have the coyote, who was the original suicider, goes looking for a sword.
Yeah.
And comes across the Kings of L.A.
Who took the sword.
Yeah, but not... I forget the character's name, the main one.
I think
it's John. But what,
Johnny,
what
a, yeah, yeah, Johnny.
Doesn't come across him, but beats the other ones. And it's confirmed...
He's Negan, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Without the barbed wire.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Trixie, who is his sister, is pregnant.
Yeah.
So that
Johnny's not going to be happy.
Nope. No, he's very clear he won't play in that game.
Yeah, no, this is a good book.
I sense
a twist coming about where this fits into the whole overall story.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how it ties in with the first miniseries.
I am too. I got some ideas, but...
So do I. I hope it ties in. I hope it's not just a different story in the same
universe.
I mean, it'll still be enjoyable, but...
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think they're setting for some sort of twist.
Bloodshot.
This was a freaking awesome issue. I loved this conclusion to the Analog Man. It was such a trippy ending to it, where you didn't kind of know what was going on, and you felt as confused as he did.
And that was the thing. Like, I actually had to read it twice, and the first time I read it, I was pissed. I'm like, no, not that everything's a dream sequence. But then when I went back and reread it, I'm like, no, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It makes a ton of sense. Because I've been wondering, like, so are they jumping back to the past again for the Bloodshot Island stuff? Like, what are they doing? This was fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic.
And then, of course, the return of Bloodsquirt.
Oh, that was great.
Love Bloodsquirt. So,
Wait, why is everybody talking about Valiant? Nobody reads Valiant?
Yeah.
What? This is crazy.
Valiant.
It was one of the things that sorry, not trying to hijack, but on Comics Bro, somebody asked, "How do you guys that have success with Valiant? How do you sell it?" And
it sells itself.
Well, no, I was the first one to respond, and basically I said, "One, read some and talk about it." I said that's always the best thing. Just having it on the shelf, you know, no, it's not going to jump off. I mentioned I took, I went big into the number ones when they had them on sale. And then I also mentioned you. I said, I have one guy who, I said, well, one, I said, what I found is a lot of dissatisfied Marvel and DC fans looking for something new. It's a united universe. I said, but they only put out 10 books a month. So even if somebody loves it and gets all of it, it's not a huge amount of books. It's $40 a month, tops. And you don't have to like everything. So that's only, you know, max, you're looking at $40 a month, $10 a week, basically.
Yeah.
But I said, and it helps if you have someone who becomes almost evangelical about it. A guy who reads it, loves it, and tells everybody about it. And I said, we have a podcast. I had one guy start doing it. Now, all of a sudden, everybody at the podcast is reading Valiant, and we talk about it, and people listen to it. Now, other people are coming in going, hey, I heard you guys talking about this. And it's just one of those things that grows naturally.
And your sale helped people... He gave people a reason
Pat,
to jump on.
You know, suckered Pat in, you know, and, oh, wait. But, no, and things like
you
that.
You probably got about 10 people.
Yeah. But that's, for that's Valiant, that's really good.
Yeah.
So, no. But, and it's one of those things that
for
keeps
your book,
growing.
Some of your numbers probably went up.
Oh, absolutely. After that, yeah. But then you get, I heard you guys talking about this. What, you know, okay, you try Bloodshot. And then, you know, or even now, you try, you know, you try 4000 AD. Wow, I like that. Mm-hmm. Rye, you're going to pick up. And then, but it might turn into, you know, Bloodshot's got one coming next week. So it's just, I really like, and the fact that if you watch the TV show, how passionate their guys are. Yeah. I mean, you saw Matt, Matthew, and then you saw Andy on TV, Adam. Well, you met Adam. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just.
If you want to push Valiant, those guys will help you in any way they can.
Yeah, I did like come
they,
out with.
If you're a retailer, they will not just leave you off to do it on your own. They will give you whatever assistance you possibly need.
A guy, Brett Parks from, I believe it's Sailfish down in North Carolina, posted a picture of the Post-it note, a pen, and something else, and saying, these are the only office supplies I'll ever, you know, we use it, we'll ever need anymore. And I responded back. I said, where's the Faith Sharpie? He's like, oh, I've got that. I said, and I responded back. I said, if they came out with Harbinger Scotch tape, we'd be set. He said, yes, and rye packing tape, then we'd be golden. Who tapped that in Kessel? But I'm like, you know, we'd be golden and we'd never need office supplies again. So he's like, he told me I was brilliant. So that was good. I like being told that every once in a while. But so I'll get to Matthew and say, hey, here are the last two things we could possibly think of that we use, you know, unless you get me a stapler that I never use or a hole punch. But they're above and beyond. I had three or four people talk about the time capsule today, asking me when I'm going to open it. Like Kevin Bastos. Kevin Bastos, who was my first every cover guy, who actually stopped because he's like way too many, said he wants to be here when we do open that. He wants to make a point of being here to see it open. Oh, we will, but it's August. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, like, you should have a.
Yeah, absolutely. But so it was just fun seeing you guys talking about Valiant that people don't.
It's good. I'm glad to see it.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm really good. But I always like another option.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel and DC are great. But, I mean, even Image, I think when I did the order, my IDW total was higher than Image this last month. And to be honest, like, IDW was 1,000 wholesale. Image was like 800 wholesale. So when I see people say, oh, sell more Image, you know what? If I double my Image comics, it still doesn't pay the mortgage. As opposed to what Marvel and DC put out. So Image is great, but, you know, I every time, you know, I'd love to, a successful Image book is in double digits, whereas, you know, an unsuccessful Marvel or DC book is in single digits. So, you know, it's you have to view everybody a little bit differently.
I think what's kind of nice about Valiant for me is that, like, it's an alternative to a superhero, not a superhero story, but a publisher that sells mainly superhero stuff. Because they're.
But you know what? I don't take a whole lot of what they do as necessarily superhero.
No, but you can find. I think you could. It's very well. It's written kind of like a superhero story.
No, it's a lot of anti-heroes. It is, like, but well, it's not just anti-heroes, but it's also, you know, spies and more, you know, more of that style.
Maybe
than,
a lot of variety. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but like
probably.
But more that, like a like DC or Marvel would have that type of a book where you're coming into this and you have like different types of things. Where Image or something would have like Walking Dead, but then they'd have like Ringside, and it's just like that's not really. Yeah. So these are more mini-series type stories, where this is...
Speaking of spies, in Divinity 2 last week, we got Ninja L.
Oh, very cool. But one thing I like where it's a lot of variety, but it's tied together variety, where you have Armstrong and Ivar and Glad brothers, but totally different. One's basically a warrior king, one's a time traveler, and one's a drunk, you know, hobo. So it's just, but it does tie things together.
You have continuity without it being unmanageable.
Yeah.
Well, and that is actually brilliant because they are eternal. You can literally span all time and still have a relatable character that you can follow. Years ago, I remember they talked about Star Wars. That was the advantage of C-3PO and R2-D2. They never die. So you can do that, and that's a... For a good story,
then it being the critical connective tissue throughout all the.
That's the best thing about any time traveling character, whether they're slowly traveling through time like Eternal Warrior or not, you have that ability to write so much.
Yeah,
it opens up so much. that, and that's what I like about these characters.
They're not time traveling. Well, Ivar, but
Time Garage's traveling.
Garage not time traveling because
immortal.
Otherwise you get paradoxes.
We're all traveling through time right now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's just slowly doing it.
What was in those cookies,
he's taking
man?
A long time. Yeah.
So. You don't want. and the last one I'll talk about is Doctor Strange.
David, right, Doctor Strange.
Strange.
Strange. Yeah.
So this is continuing to the last days of magic. It was really weird. I must have missed an issue somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because I was lost in this until, I caught it at the end, but.
They're trying to collect every little scrap of magic.
To try to have weapons.
Yeah, to try to defeat these empirical character.
Now, the one thing, the map, that reminded me a lot on the Constantine show where he would draw blood and then wherever the blood went, that's where something bad was happening. Yeah. That's basically what he was doing in order to get scraps of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just found that as a little...
strange.
No, not strange, Adam. Eat your cookie.
Dave liked it.
I don't know. The interaction with him and Wanda in the convertible, that was kind of...
Yeah.
I like I said, I know I had to have missed an issue somewhere because something's just not connecting. But it wasn't bad. I mean, and I want to know what was in the basement, though.
Right.
That,
yeah,
you know, they had like some
big
well
in the basement. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I guess there's something that's super powerful that he can use to combat these guys is in the basement. But oops, it got out.
Yeah.
The groundhog.
Yeah. That's what it was. It's the magical groundhog.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk. Just FYI, Tim went down to get something out of the basement. He's like, God, there's all this poop right by the door. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Well, I didn't realize it was on the inside of the door. And apparently a groundhog had been, I don't want to say trapped in the basement, but I guess when Adam was down there on Saturday and he had the door propped open, they were doing stuff, so it went in. So it got trapped since
Saturday.
How did
you guys get it out?
No, I guess Tim just opened the door and he ran out. Yeah. But he said he looked really disheveled.
Well, he's been trapped in there
right.
since Saturday.
So yeah, and Tim couldn't quite handle the cleanup. Said it really smelled bad. So Adam will be dealing with that on Friday.
It's still down there?
No, it left. It ran out.
The poo.
He got as much as he could, but he's like, it was just a little much. Well, I didn't have time to go down and scrub it. Nor do I have anything to scrub it with. I'll bring something tomorrow.
Bleach.
Tim is what you had to scrub it with.
Yeah. True.
Here's a dollar. Go across the street to Giant Eagle and get bleach.
No, so we'll deal with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mine's just sending Tim across the street to get the stuff to clean.
It's Wednesday and it's busy.
I like how you're putting all together like, wait a minute.
He's
going to
make me do this.
Well, Adam, you know what you're doing tomorrow.
So, yeah, so now the groundhog will be, instead of the goat or the gorilla, it'll be the groundhog. We'll have to come up with a name for him.
It's insensitive to talk about gorillas right now.
When you say meh?
Meh.
You said the goat. I said
yeah.
meh.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Don't say,
Colin. I only have one.
And they have laser beams. Freaking laser beams out of their eyes. Sorry.
It's tradition now.
That's okay. That's just one, I'll mention quickly one book. Starve. One of my favorite books. Starve number 9. At the end of this is the penultimate issue.
Oh,
penultimate.
Because at the end of this issue, says there's only one more left. So all my favorite Brian Wood books are ending.
Tend to go about 10 issues, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're a big Brian Wood fan, aren't you?
I am a big Brian. Yeah. Well, I miss. Yeah. I love a lot of his stuff. Rebels, I still miss.
Yeah.
And as this past.
I hope that comes back. I don't think it will. I don't think it will because of the way it ended. But
yeah.
I would like.
Yeah, it did have kind of a.
It was disjointed at the end.
Yeah.
How many trades of that are there?
One.
This one, it came out?
It was like a 6-issue arc, and then it went to like 4 one-shots.
Okay. That was something I was on the read, so.
Yeah, so it was like a $25 one, but it, you know, definitely thick. You know, not like four Marvel trades.
Cost about the same, though.
Sorry, it was funny. Just to totally interrupt you again, Dave.
Sure.
Oh, we got the Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu Marvel Omnibus this week, and we got a Goon Library Edition. And the Goon Library Edition is taller and just as thick, and the Goon is $40, and the Marvel is $125.
So who's really a Goon?
Yeah, so it was just funny. I'm like, oh my God.
Well played, actually.
You got one.
Got one. Okay.
I've had
10 years in. He's gotten one. Okay. Sorry, Dave. Continue.
Anyhow, this issue of Starve, Chef Gavin is he hasn't lived up to his contract, so he's arrested for this. He kind of gives himself up because I guess you're allowed in the future here, a few years in the future, you're allowed to be arrested for noncompliance with a contract,
civil contract.
Yeah. So when they arrest him, he punches one of the policemen, and he goes to jail. And while he's in jail, one of the guys who helped get on the TV show Starve, one of the other chefs, offers to bail him out. But he has plans that you don't know what's going on yet, but he has plans because he says he refuses to be bailed out. And he tells him... once this is over, you'll understand. And while this is going on, his daughter, Angie, is kind of the new... She's signing a contract to be the new star of the television show, Starve. And it's going to wrap up in the next issue, and it's been an excellent book. It's all about character. More about character than plot, I think. But Brian Wood, he just makes these characters so relatable, and even though you don't agree with everything the Scaven character does, you can kind of understand why he does it. So I'm looking forward to see how it wraps up next issue. And Josh, that's all I have.
Oh, that was fast.
That's
So I only have two that I want to mention we've talked about already. First is Divinity 2, number 2. So far, I really like... I mean, I loved the first Divinity miniseries, but I like this one a whole lot more. This is focusing on another one of the cosmonauts that went off on this mission to the edge of the known universe, and her name is Mishka, and she is very much a Soviet. And as she made her way back to Earth after getting her powers, she wants revenge on Abram for leaving them after he got his powers, and she wants to return the Soviet Union back to the greatness that it was whenever she left on her mission. So when she first gets back in the first issue, she seeks out Putin and says that she plans on returning Russia to its greatness and wants to know if he will be behind her, and he is, and
yeah, that's, I figured Putin would.
Yeah, it sets off on
how many books
is
Vladimir Putin?
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's funny when you say it because it's just like, what are we talking about? Like you don't picture him as being
a comic character.
It's a comic book character. Like,
it works, though.
Said
it's perfect.
Superman, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
He's been in so many. He's been in Badger and everything else.
So in issue 2, we find out that suddenly Russia is having like this economic and technological boom, and they're suddenly dominating the world stage in all these different areas. So other nations tell there's something going on, but they don't know quite what it is. So that's where we have Ninjak, Ninja K, and Ninja L, who have infiltrated this very high end bank, trying to see if they can figure out what's going on, from a financial standpoint, and they find this extremely massive stockpile of gold. And at this point, they know something's going on. They want to report back, but they're discovered by Mishka, this other divinity, and in the process of their escape, Ninja L is the one that was initially found out because. He, broke into this vault while Ninjak, the one we know, the ninja we know and love, was like this bank manager undercover.
He's a jerk, actually.
So during Ninja L's escape, which doesn't quite go that well, Ninjak manages to get out and report back, and they decide to try and involve the help of Abram, the original divinity, who they say they have him kind of locked up, but we find out that he can get out whenever he wants. He likes the solitude there, because his whole thing when he came back, he wasn't extremely loyal to the Soviet Union.
he left behind a wife and unborn child that he wanted to reconnect with, and then he tried to like create this utopia. But when it didn't pan out, he just kind of, you know, resolved himself to, you know, this life of solitude, even though he has his godlike powers. But he says he'll help out, and he goes to confront Mishka, and we find out she may be a lot more powerful than he is. And through their fight, like, she, you know, the fight takes him down to the core of the earth, and it was either something with the way time passed or something she did to him, but it looked like she may have killed the original Divinity character. Curious to see how it plays out in the next issue, but it's been really good, really interesting. And Matt Kent says there's going to be two more miniseries. So Divinity 3 will be the Stalinverse, and he said originally that was going to be the end, but then he thought of a great idea for the fourth miniseries they're going to do up through Divinity 4.
I think that's one of the next trades I'm going to pick up, because not really only good. You've said that, but Russ, who comes in here every Saturday, has said that as well. So
yeah, it's been really good. Divinity 1 was a bit...
The Stalinverse thing really... Yeah, it seems cool. When I saw that, I was just like, yeah.
And we saw... the initial like seeds for it in this issue.
Yeah.
Even some like the imagery we saw in this issue, like the communist Bloodshot and Shadow Man and whatnot.
Yeah.
The first Divinity is a bit, you know, more like that high concept sci-fi, a bit, you know, tougher to read. Well, I don't say tougher to read, but it was a bit more like abstract. This seems more focused on a particular storyline, but they're both, you know, they're very good just in different ways. Like, that was a really, you know, awesome sci-fi story. This isn't quite as that, you know, high concept sci-fi. It's more of a traditional story, but it's really well, really well done. This is setting up a whole, you know, universe or a whole, you know, major arc with the Stalinverse or anything. The other one I'll mention is Tokyo Ghost. Any of you guys read that?
I was hoping you brought it up, because I saved it. I waited for you to talk about it. Yes, I did.
Yeah, this was really a really good issue, a really graphic issue.
This book. Like, this has to be one of my favorite reads that I get anymore.
Because you're into the tentacles?
The tentacles.
This book was really into the tentacles.
Capital Butthole, Mr. Flack.
Yes!
That was a line from the book.
And the title of our podcast, Capital Butthole.
That's allowed, too.
Capital?
Spell it for me.
Capitalbutthole, comma, Mr. Flack, F-L-A-K.
Yeah, that's with a comma.
Yeah, like he's, Mr. Flack is, I mean, he's the main, like, villain behind everything.
He's kind of the leader of...
The scumbags?
Yeah, but of
he's
of
the
like
one that
LA,
he's the one that sent them off to their mission in Tokyo.
Yeah,
and
he apparently has a capital butthole.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't wear pants. Ever.
Yeah, and he's talking about how all these other people
this guy's living the dream.
All these people that he surrounds himself with are like peons, and how they just eat up whatever, and you know he can do anything.
And that was his
so he's
point,
like
so
he's like on this table with just a button down shirt that's opened up. No pants, dong flying over the place, like doing this wacky, like, you know, dance thing. And this guy, like, in a monocle and a top hat with this woman, like, in a fur coat, is like, Capital Butthole, Mr. Flack. And I read something where Remender and Murphy, like, keep trying to up one another to see if they can, you know, get the other one.
So, like, I'm assuming the ride in the background.
Yeah, so, like, Remender will write something that's way over the top. And then Murphy will draw for that, but then take it even further.
Yeah.
And it's a key.
I see your capital butthole.
It really
worries you.
These two are an incredible team.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite books for either of these.
It's just because you have all that, which is a lot of funny stuff in there. It's just really messed up funny stuff. But on the other hand, you have a really good story going in the background.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
And
it was just all this
stuff.
Issue like,
was very much about retribution, where we have Debbie, the Tokyo Ghost, who really takes it to Flack and all of his lackeys. But then you find out that maybe she was kind of baited into doing it by Davey, whatever his name is.
Davey, I forget his name.
The dude who like controls the cyber side of things, and you still like feel kind of really bad for Teddy's character, Yeah. Like, they really paint him as a very sympathetic character, even though he kind of did it all to himself.
Yeah. In some ways, but he did it for her. Like, but she didn't want it. Like, she wasn't
he
wanting
did
it,
it for
he
her.
Did it.
Well, hey, no, nah, he didn't do it for her. He did it because of his ego. Because remember, initially, whenever she defended him in the flashbacks...
Oh, yeah, that's true, because, when
he was... His ego was bruised because of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he says, like, he did it for her.
Yeah,
but really did
right.
because he felt inadequate.
He did. When he was being beat up and she took up for him, he was really irritated at her for it.
Same thing with when they were in Tokyo. He kind of slipped back into things because of his ego.
Yeah. But he, this issue, him, getting his... memory switched around, so he thinks that they're evil.
Yeah, they alter his memories. They think
stuff, and
so he thinks that she's the one that burned Tokyo to the ground, not him.
Yeah, and one of the things, like, they all go into this ship that's going to take them to
like a cruise ship,
Tokyo. And it has all these rides on it, like we were talking about and stuff.
That's where
the tentacle
party was at.
Machine, yeah, but. To get into the ship, you have to have like a certain
the IQ thing.
He walks in, and it's like 85.
Yeah, Mr. Flack,
like
80.
Yeah, and he's just
oh, great
joke,
guys.
But
I have to kill you.
So he has him, just decapitates him, and it's just like, wow. Just a good book. It really is. And this is ending at 12, I guess, is what I heard.
It's ending at 12, but now they're talking about possibly having some follow up or, some sort of ongoing.
It has been really.
It's been really awesome.
So
that's it for me.
What did you read, Colin?
You know what? The only other three I'm sure we talked about last time. The last three I have are Rebirth, Justice League 50, and Superman 52. Those are the only three other three that I read from last week.
So we just couldn't wait. So, they were so awesome.
Oh, it was.
We were so excited.
And so important. I mean, those were important books.
They are important.
But we read all those books before even Wednesday.
All right, zip it, Adam. We're going to get out of here on time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get to watch the third period.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What's coming out next week there, Colin?
What? Next week we have, for you Valiant fans, 4001 AD Bloodshot number 1.
Ooh.
Action Comics number 957.
Wow.
We have All New X-Men number 10, which is part of Apocalypse Wars. Aquaman Rebirth number 1. Dave Baker Street Peculiars number 4. Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 1. Now, I have more coming in. So if you were looking for it, I have 10 more copies coming in. And hopefully I have another 10 coming in the week after to meet demand. A couple of things. I love pointing these out just because I'm a jerk. But we have the Civil War, number 1, two different posters coming next week.
Well timed.
And the Deadpool 13 poster coming next week.
How are the posters always...
A week after the book comes out, yeah. Somebody's planning that way.
Because had Rebirth poster for a while.
Yeah.
And look, you can't plan these things.
No, you can't.
You get your Valiant posters on time.
I do. Those even ship in their own tube on their dime. The Marvel ones just come with the dime. I mean, obviously, they're on my invoice. They come with the shipment. They're free, but...
You don't get too many posters from... At least you don't get me too many. I don't
know. We got Civil War 2 Amazing Spider-Man number 1 and Gods of War number 1.
I'm happy that they're not tying them into Amazing Spider-Man. They're leaving
it. Right, giving it its own book, we got Daredevil number 8, so we'll see if that storyline, what it does. Darth Vader 21, Detective 934, Empress number 3, Fix number 3, which has been good. I have Second Prince number 1, or Third Prince actually, number 1 coming next week. Flash Rebirth number 1, Green Lantern Core Edge of Oblivion number 6, so we're finally finishing that a little out of order. Legends of Tomorrow number 4, I know you guys have been liking that. Lumberjanes Gotham Academy, a crossover, an intercompany crossover, which is kind of cool.
Wait, Lumberjanes Gotham Academy?
Yeah.
Becky Cloonan is writing both of them.
Yeah, Lumberjanes is a boom book.
I thought
book.
You were joking about that.
No.
Okay.
Lumberjanes is a boom book. Gotham Academy, obviously.
Yeah.
A DC
I really
book.
Like that DC is willing to do these crossovers with other companies.
Yeah.
Except for Marvel.
Well, that's, yeah.
Because that's called Amalgam.
Merry Men is coming, and this is kind of an interesting one. This is coming from Oni, and basically it's about Robin Hood's Merry Men, if they were all Merry Men, so to speak.
Homosexuals.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, I didn't say anything wrong with that. Midnight of the Soul, which is... An image book, a new image book that I ordered a bunch of, so I'm sorry I don't know about it. New Avengers number 12, a lead-in to Civil War or at least tying in with Civil War. No, I'm just wondering why my phone is buzzing.
That's always that one.
What? Oh, Ninjak number 16, or Ninjal number 16, depending on which
Ninjal.
Character they use.
Ninjak.
This is Ninjak. Okay. Get the
this
character.
Is the end of the siege on King's Castle arc, whatever.
Okay. Pink Panther number 1. This is one of the Free Comic Book Day books that was quite popular. Wow. It only has 5 covers. Prometheus Life and Death number 1. That these again, the second run of these books are doing quite well.
This is Prometheus like Alien.
Yeah. Because okay. It also has the Alien and the Predator book that yeah. goes along, so that's this one. Renato Jones, 1% number 2. Sherlock, A Study in Pink number 1, Dave. It's from Titan, and I don't know if it's actually just doing a miniseries of that first episode, but I've just said Dave because you like Baker Street Irregulars. So I don't know if it's doing that exactly or what.
No.
Star Wars Poe Dameron. I know Adam is a big fan of the Poe. We got Thunderbolts number 2, which surprised me because number 1 sold out really quick. Luckily, I have another number 1 one number one coming, and then a bunch of number 2s.
Yeah, a bunch of number 2s, yep. All right.
And then Wacky Raceland number 1. You guys have been loving the Hanna-Barbera stuff, so this is the next one in that, which with all the different character covers, we have. Dick Dastardly, Penelope Pitstop, Peter Perfect coming. Weavers, number 2. That's for you, Josh, because I know you really like that one about the mobsters and the spiders that go mm-hmm. into their mouths. And then Wonder Woman, number 1. Or Wonder Woman Rebirth, number 1. So that's starting. I think this one has a lot of buzz behind it.
I'm really happy I filled out my pre-order checklist, so I know I'm getting all the Rebirth
books
that I wanted.
Yes, that's true. Now, it was very funny yesterday.
At a discount. Oh, wait, did Tim do the discount prices?
No, we're doing the here's what happened. So basically, it was... No, relax. Basically, it was $10. Really. I was offering it, I think it was $10 off.
$12.50 a week.
Yeah. $12.50 a week, but actually... Right, $12.50 a week. But, so you got 4 books today. How much were those 4 books? Well, how much are the new 52 books?
They're $2.99.
Right. So how much are 4 $2.99 books?
Should be $12.
Right. So nothing to discount, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? I could have increased it, made you pay 50 cents more, but that just seems wrong.
What kind of jerk are
you? So right. When's the discount going to kick in?
So next week, there are 5 books. Mm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make one of those free.
Oh.
And the week after that, there are going to be 5 books. So I'm going to make one of those free. So where are we at now?
Now we're ahead.
No, you're at $9. So then the last week I'll make one book $1 off. That's all. But there was no reason to discount anything because you were actually under my promised.
Okay.
Only price. $9. There's 2 books free. It's $6.
No, Rebirth. You didn't pay for Rebirth.
Oh. Ha ha.
Well, I didn't think that factored into the whole
discount.
Yeah, because
it was the whole 20 books for $10.
Off. Yeah, come to the party, you get a free one.
It's still a free one. It's still... factors in.
I feel like if you did the checklist, you would screw it a little bit.
How? You're still saving. You're still getting at least 2 books
See,
free.
And that was my point with the whole midnight release.
Because the schmucks who just came to the party and filled out a checklist still got a free one.
So but they're still here at midnight on a Tuesday.
Schmucks.
Never happy.
So where can they find you, Colin?
At home. I don't want to be here anymore.
Is it on sale right now?
What?
Is it A Fruin that's on sale right now?
That was the other subject I wanted to talk about.
What?
Reading comprehension.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah, just a little thing. Only because a lot of the confusion with the Captain America stuff.
Sorry, guys.
No. A lot of the confusion with the Captain America stuff was people that didn't actually read the books. So, and then that kind of transferred over to somebody emailed me yesterday saying, oh, I saw this. It was a link. What happened was Aspen Comics came out with a special Michael Turner variant of Batman Rebirth number 1 with a Michael Turner cover.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So he emailed me and said, I want this. Please put this in my folder. And with a link to the article. The article was 3 sentences long. The second sentence being offered exclusively at aspenstore.com. So I responded back saying, you got to go to aspenstore.com. So it's just one of those...
People you got
to
read.
I wonder if some of your listeners or customers listen to this and at home are like, wait, he's talking about me right now.
Maybe. I'm not trying to be mean,
but if we are, Jesus
why are
Christ.
You making me look for this book? Because I'm looking on the Diamond site for it. I can't find it. It says right in the thing.
Why didn't you read the three sentences before you looked all over the place?
Because well, fair enough. But I didn't think
Shut
I needed
up,
to. Because no, but I looked. I said, "Oh, a Batman Turner variant." I didn't know there was one. I looked.
I
so
hope that guy Taters isn't me,
right? But then it kind of went. We were talking about it, and it kind of it went back to the alphabet sale, where people couldn't read that and they couldn't understand that. And it's just weird because it's a medium that reading is involved. So.
Reading is fundamental.
I got Gundams too.
Okay. So you can find me here at the store.
We're not
gonna get or PittsburghComics.com on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics. On Twitter at PGH Comics.
Find you in the insane asylum.
Getting there.
Hope you enjoyed our All Positivity podcast.
Yay! Somebody say it.
See how happy we all are? We're all happy about it.
Pat, please.
It's podcast.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week, maybe.
Study more listeners.